Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Joshua. Now, Joshua is about this far into the Bible. It comes after the first five books. It's book number six. And it is quite a dramatic book. Joshua was second in command under Moses, who wrote the first five books. Moses, as you know, had the story of the burning bush, and he went back to Egypt to set the Israelis free from the oppressive reign and rule of Egypt. And they went to the Red Sea, you remember, in a flight there, and then bounded by the Red Sea on one side, desert on two sides laterally, and then behind them was the Egyptian army rushing up on them. And it was the miraculous divine appointment of God to separate the Red Sea, and for, they estimate, 2.5 million Israelis to escape across the Red Sea into the promised land, or out of the land of Egypt. Well, now, Moses is dead, and Joshua has taken his place. Joshua is now the supreme allied commander of Israel, and God is speaking to him. And Joshua and his buddy, a fellow named Caleb, have already spied out the land. They know what's out there. They see the big cities, the fortified cities, the armies, the soldiers, the defenses that are set up out there. And he hears the voice of God saying, you need to go. But you have this river right there, this Jordan River. And what I did for Moses with the Red Sea, I'm going to do for you now with the Jordan River. And so he instructs his priests to take the what's called the Ark of the Covenant. It's a box roughly the size of our altar in front of us here, and put it on their shoulders, and these priests are to take the what's called the Ark of the Covenant down to the water's edge, and upon his command they are to step into the river, just walk into it and stand ankle deep and see what God does. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol and the center and the focus of worship for these folks during this long period of time. The Ten Commandments were inside that box. Moses' staff was inside that box. There have been movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark and some other great movies where the Ark of the Covenant had this mysterious power that if anyone had that box, it would go well for them. Well, it certainly does have that effect in terms of miracles going ahead of them, and it was an objective symbol of them when they would follow the Ark of the Covenant, they would see God do things for them. Don't we wish we had something like that now? Well, if you're in the book of Joshua, take a look at chapter 4 and the first verse. They have the priests, when they stepped into the water began to separate, just like they had seen, or they had heard stories of their parents and grandparents who saw the Red Sea separate, and now it is separating for them. And as the water separated, these priests went ahead of the people. And they were to keep a distance of about 1,000 feet from from this Ark of the Covenant. Because this thing was so powerful, so mighty, that if you got too close to it, it would kill you. Except for the priests who were assigned to hold it. Okay, now, Joshua chapter 4. Beginning at the first verse. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and to put them down at the place where you will stay tonight. Okay, can you picture that? They're halfway out into the river. The priests are. I don't know how big the river is at this point. Let's just say it's 100 feet or so. And apparently, I've just sort of always visualized that the ground out there was rather sandy, rather flat. But apparently, there were some boulders out there. And so these 12 fellas were appointed and assigned to go back into the middle of the river and go by where the priests are, pick up a stone big enough that they can carry, but almost too big to carry, bring it back to the place where they are going to camp tonight. And the story continues on by saying in verse 4, so Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you are to take up the stone according to the number of tribes in Israel to serve, and here's the purpose, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial for the people of Israel forever. And so the rest of the story is basically they did that. Now, what I want to talk about today very briefly is that you and I need to have visual, tangible, physical memorials, monuments, altars, signposts, markers that you and I can have around us that will serve and tell us a message. We have this incredible capacity to forget both good and bad things, and I've read some studies that the bad things are things that we tend to forget first. We do tend to remember good things longer than bad things. And so, but we do have this tendency to forget regardless. And we need to have reminders that will come to us and jog us and get us back onto center and place us where we need to be. So there are some of you, actually I've been into your homes, and you actually have an altar, a place that might have a cross, might have a Bible, might have a devotional, and that's your sacred place. You have your dedicated chair, might be near a window, and that's where you read and meditate on the scriptures each day. And I want to encourage you, if you have a place like that, if you don't have a place like that, to make it, to get one. Quite frankly, I don't have one. I hope you do. It doesn't work for me. I do have something else, though. And each of us have something that works for us. For me, it is pictures. And I have, if you go into my office, you will see along one wall a whole bunch of pictures that have been monuments to me, have been turning points for me, have been places where I have been, and my life has changed as a result. And I need to remember these things, to remember that God has done a work for me. This is the cross at Ground Zero. It was plucked out of the bottom of a pit. The bottom was cut off, and a crane picked it up, a friend of mine picked it up, and put it on a pedestal here, which is about 20 feet in the air. And you can see these people, if you can see them. These are, 6-foot people, and this I-beam, which was cut off perfectly by the falling debris around it, turned into the shape of a recognizable cross. And I saw this. I had to walk past this many times when I walked onto the grounds of Ground Zero. But you can see that it's about 20 feet tall, and they estimated that it was about 20,000 pounds. And for me, when I was working at Ground Zero, it was a sacred place. It was not just a site where, 2,500 people were killed. Almost 3,000 people were killed there. It was a holy ground. And in some respects, I want to forget it. It was a terrible, horrible experience to deal with the hundreds and hundreds of stories that I heard of people going through loss. And yet, I hope I never forget it. A friend of mine has his own strange kind of memorial. I thought it was strange. He had a sleeping bag by his bed. He lived in a mansion. He owned the mansion. And it was there to remind him of the time when he was homeless. And he used that sleeping bag as his home. And he never wanted to forget that experience. He never wanted to lose touch with where he came from. And so he had a sleeping bag beside his bed. There was, among the many pictures I have, this is another one. This is a boy, and you can see the reflection of his face in the water. He's drinking from a pond of water that is muddy, polluted, contaminated, and yet he's thirsty. And when I saw that, I said, I hope I never forget this, that there are people today for whom this is the only water they have. God forbid that I forget. And when I see this picture each day, I'm taken back to that place in Sudan where this kid is suffering. I call them hell holes. I wish I could have another word for it, but I don't want to sanitize it. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I want it to be horrible, because it was horrible. And the effect it has on me is that it draws me back to this place. And what am I doing to help? Help this kid get some clean water. My father is probably the one that got me started on this, of having significant pictures. This was a picture that my father had on his desk for virtually my whole life. He was a pilot in the Marine Corps for his career. He was a fighter pilot up to this point, flew jets. One of his wingmates was John Glenn, another Marine Corps pilot. And then one time he was protecting some soldiers, Marines down below, and long story short, he crashed and was rescued from that site. And in his recovery, he was on a land base in Korea in a safe area. And as he was getting better, he could take walks off the base in secured areas. He was taking a lengthy walk one time, and he ran across this bomb crater, a crater just about the size of this stage, and he saw in the side of the bomb crater this family. Now, you can't hardly see this. When we get the screens, it'll be nice to be able to show these kind of things. But I'll put these on the altar here when we're done. Here is a mother, and there are actually three children, three boys, that are standing there. You can only see the hand of one boy. And they are living in this cave in the side of this bomb crater. My dad took his camera. It was one of these Pentax cameras where you look down the sort of the, you're a photographer. Did you ever have one of those kind of cameras or see one of those cameras that you look down I don't know what you call it. A tube or something, yeah. And then it would take the picture of what you were looking at. And as he took this picture, as it snapped, as he pushed the button, something snapped inside of him. And he realized that he could no longer be destructive. He could no longer be a fighter, but he needed to be redemptive, and he needed to change the career path of his life. And so he, when he recovered sufficiently from his injuries, He switched from flying jets to flying ugly medevac helicopters, which pilots never go in that direction. You always want to be a jet fighter pilot. But he went in the opposite direction because he felt this call inside of him. It was a life-changing thing for him that he had to be helpful and redemptive with his life and not destructive. And so when he took this picture, he framed it eventually. And this is the picture that he had on his desk. He gave it to me as a reminder of the spiritual experience that he had in his own life. And he wanted me, his son, to see what God had been doing for him. Now, I encourage you, whether you use pictures or objects or a Bible verse or something, that you have something of a memorial, something of an altar, something of a sacred space where you go, and it's just you and God. And it's a reminder there of where you've come from, or it could be a reminder of where you need to go. In my case, as you look at the pictures on my wall, you can see where I've been. And you can see the experiences that go on, that have gone on in my own life. And every one of them have significant stories with them. You and I need to have those kind of stories because we tend to forget. It's unfortunate. You remember the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And he heals them. They go off. Two of them come back to thank him. And Jesus says, hey, what happened to the other 8? Well, apparently they were so excited, and I'm sure they were grateful, but they forgot to give thanks. They didn't come back to the place where they got the healing. So folks, that is what you're going to be studying this week in your Blackaby lessons. And it's going to be about spiritual markers. And so get some thinking going about some things that you can have that will serve as significant reminders of the times and the places where God has met with you. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that you have created these stories, and there are a bunch of them, where altars were made as a reminder of the time and places where you did significant work in our lives. Lord, help us to be observant people, to be people who remember. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.